junior high girls sing for us this morning. Ladies, y'all did a great job. And have them do it again. I tell you what, if there's time, if you don't mind, Sarah, if there's time, we'll do that again at the end. And the choices of songs, that was wonderful. I love it. I love those songs. We sing those a lot on our buses and at City Baptist, and we love that. It was great. I've got a couple of announcements to make, and then we'll get into some scripture, and we'll get into the message, and there is church ed today. We have a soul-winning emphasis day, and I want you to pray about this. Of course, most of you won't remember this, but for many, many years, they're used to, of course, a lot of the faculty and staff and those who were students back in the day would remember, there were a lot of a lot more project areas in the city than there are now. And I can remember as a student and even on staff going into Robert Taylor Homes along the Dan Ryan, there were 16-story buildings, dozens of them, probably from about, 43rd, maybe even further south, probably in the 63rd or so, all the way up to about 22nd Street. And you'd see them along the Dan Ryan. You guys probably remember those. And we would go in there on a regular basis and have big days. We would run buses and bring them to the Civic Center. We've had many services in there and brought them to the church. Cabrini Green, some might be familiar with that that name. But I think Juan used to live there when he was a little kid. But that's what you told me, right? Yeah, I don't think so. I think you lied to me. But anyway, but Cabrini Green was a big project area, and we go in there. And matter of fact, this is an interesting story. Many years ago, and this goes back probably, we were having a big day, and I was assigned to go into Cabrini Green. And that's up there on Division Street, just east of the Dan Ryan. And there was probably 10, 12 high-rises, and they're all 16-story high buildings, and they're all projects, Chicago projects. And it was the same time. We had scheduled this for many, many months. And it was the same time that there was a riot in L.A. And some of you old-timers remember the Rodney King situation out in L.A. And all across the country, there were riots. And in Atlanta and Detroit, I think they had riots in Detroit and such. And so there was a lot of concern about us going to Chicago on that weekend and to the project areas. And I remember Brother Hiles came out to the campus. We had off school on Friday. We were going to spend much of the day on Friday visiting, and then, of course, all day Saturday. And Brother Hiles came out and met with all the men on a Friday. Does anybody remember this? Anybody remember that? You guys are old, I don't know, but you guys are too young. But he met with all of, Brother Mike, you might, Brother Fish might remember this, but he met with all the men and basically told the men, look, we're not concerned. We think God's going to protect us. We've been planning this big day for many, many, many months. But if you have any concern, you know, basically he was giving us an out that we didn't have to go into the projects that weekend. And, of course, we were macho guys, you know, we were young. We were going to go in anyway. And we went up to Cabrini Green, and I walked out of a building. Me and one of my workers walked out of a building, and Brother Hiles drove by in his car. And he saw us, we saw him, we waved at him. He pulled over and he asked us how it was going, and he had been out that day just checking on us and just kind of seeing how things were going and, you know, concerned that there might be an issue, but there wasn't. But he parked his car and actually went visiting with us in Cabrini Green for about an hour. We went visiting and soul winning with Brother Hiles, and it was such a neat thing. That's a story that's really irrelevant. But tomorrow, we are going into the few project areas that are left. The men will go, the ladies won't. But the men are going to some of the few project areas that are left. And we're just going to go soul winning. And I'm just praying that God would give us some souls. And that we would still, Cabrini Green is not, you know, most of it's tore down. There's a few areas there that are still areas that we'll go to. And but I want you to pray. I want you to pray. And of course, the ladies, we're asking the ladies to, when you get to your bus route for the first hour or so, just dedicate that time to soul winning and winning people to Christ. And we're just praying that God would give us many, many souls saved tomorrow for this soul winning emphasis day. And looking forward to that. And then also this announcement, City Baptist is going to, is making a list. We're going to hire a few, at least a couple of teachers this year, and maybe another staff member to help in the office. If you are interested or know someone that might be interested in putting in an application, if you would get word to me, you can email me at francisj@fbchammond.com or send me a note, stop me, see me about that. But we are looking to hire some folks for the fall semester. Then also, one more thing I need your help with. How many of you were reached through the bus ministry? Maybe not First Baptist. Either you or your parents were reached through the bus ministry. Would you raise your hand? What I need you to do, if you don't mind, if you would take out a piece of paper right there real quick, and if you would write down your name and write down whether it was yourself that was reached for the bus ministry and how old you were when you started riding a bus. And then also put on there what church, if you would. If you're First Baptist, if you're from First Baptist, put that down. If you're from another church around the country, if you'd put that down. But working on something, I need your help with that. If your parents were bus riders, if you would put that information, if you would put you know, your name and put on there, or is your mom or your dad, and put on there about the age that they started riding the bus, and then what church did they ride the bus to, and that would really help me. If you would just take a minute real quick and do that right now, we're going to collect these, and I need those, take them with me if I could. If you would, take your Bibles. I'm going to have you stand. Go ahead and stand. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Those of you that are working on that, write quickly. Jot that information down. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll collect those at the end of the hour because of time. But if you would please remember to do that, and that'll just help me a lot. Philippians chapter 3. I'm gonna switch over to the lapel mic here. Then I want you to take your Bibles. Once you find that, you can put your finger there and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Where are the former City Baptist students? Raise your hand. All the former City Baptist students sitting in the back, always in the back. No. It's good to see you guys, young ladies here in college. I got a text this morning. Make sure I give you a shout out, so you guys should be happy now. You're welcome. You know, people ask me, I get this question, how do you stay motivated doing the same thing? Week after week after week. I feel like it was yesterday that I sat here as a young person, and remember my first weekend in Bible college, going to the bus route and seeing all that I saw that day, that weekend. That was a long time ago. It was not yesterday. Matter of fact, it was about 37 years ago. It's a long time. And I get the question that people ask me, well, how do you just stay at it week after week after week after week? Every Saturday, if I'm in town, coming out here to a bus meeting, and I don't do it grudgingly. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to. I want to do it. Going to the bus route every Saturday, riding or driving a bus every Sunday. I have never, to my knowledge, except when we were out of town, have I ever driven my family to church on a Sunday. Because I've always been on a bus. I've never gone home, rarely, I should say, at least, gone home on a Sunday afternoon and just sit with my family and eat a Sunday meal, because I've always been on a bus. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about that. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. But I'll get this question: how do you stay motivated? How do you keep doing that week after week after week? You know, some of you, you've been doing it for a year and you're already tired of it. Some of you, you've been doing it since September and you're already dreading another weekend. Some of you, you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years and now you're to the end and you're almost looking forward to not having to be so involved. But you know, for me, the reason one thing that helps me stay motivated is because I don't get tired of seeing the power of the gospel save and change somebody's life. I just don't get tired of seeing that. I just don't get tired of taking the Bible and showing somebody how to be saved and then watch them grow and watch them become everything that God wanted them to be. From the time that I was a student here at college, knocking on a door and bringing a family to church 35 years ago, and seeing that family now, the mom who I brought that day still rides the bus to church, her children all serving the Lord. Two of those young ladies are pastors' wives. The other two ladies are very faithful in the church, serving. Two of their children, two different families, their children are in students here at college. All the way to just a few months ago, knocking on a door back in April and meeting a family, and they didn't come right away. And I would go back every couple of weeks, few weeks, and I'd try to get them to come. And I remember they promised over the summertime they would come. They said, we're going to come. We were having the friend day for the Spanish, and they promised to come. And then that morning getting a text, we're not going to make it. And being a little discouraged, honestly. But going back again and again, and then in October, one of our fall program days, thinking, you know, I'm just going to go back there again, tell them what we're doing. We went by there, and they said, yeah, we're going to come tomorrow. And the next day, mom and dad and four kids coming to church. Going back to their home just a couple weeks later, winning the mom and the dad to Christ. Teenage girl who I didn't win her to Christ, but she got saved in the teen department. She was late coming to the bus and asked some workers, how come she's not here yet? And they said, well, they're dealing with her and she's getting saved. Praise the Lord. They hadn't been super, super faithful during that fall, November, December. But then in January, a teenage girl came to our bus rally, teen bus rally. And Brother Calvin Alvin preached. And she, you know, when I think about her, I didn't think she would be someone that would go to our school. I thought maybe in the future, maybe next year or the year after. She just wasn't ready. She had purple hair. You know, she had one of those piercings on her lip, and you know, I just didn't think she just wasn't ready, you know. But then during the invitation, when I gave the invitation about wanting to go to City Baptist, lady worker told me, before I even had a chance to say anything to her, she jumped to her feet and came to the altar and said, I'll go to City Baptist School. She'd only been riding the bus for about 6 weeks, and even that, just on and off. I went to her the next day, and I said, why don't you come and visit? Just come and visit. You have no school Monday, and why don't you just come visit? And she said, sure, and her mom said it was okay, but then her dad texted me the next morning and said, no, she's not going to make it. And so the next Sunday, I told her, I said, you know, I don't know what the, you know, why your dad didn't let you come, but I was a little concerned. Maybe they were worried about finances and money and how they would pay for her to go to our school. And I said, well, let your mom know that if that's the case, then let me know, and I want to talk to her. Mom texted me the next day and she said, can we talk? I went up there that week and sat down with Mom and Dad, and we talked a lot about her coming to our school. And I remember I told her, I said, you know, if you come to City Baptist, you got to wear a dress every day. I said, you can't have purple hair. You don't have to change your hair color. I said, you can't have any kind of piercings, like, you know. And it was a little awkward, you know. But I told her, I said, you just can't have that. And she said, that's okay. That's okay. And after several minutes, we finally, the dad was the hardest one to convince. Not because he didn't want her to come to our school, but just having to, he wasn't working and he didn't have the income that he needed to have to pay for. And I said, you know, we're going to figure out a way. I said, we'll help you with that. Some of the workers pitched in, and we were able to raise that money. She started school this semester. And I'm going to tell you something. I never get tired of that. I never get tired of that. Because it wasn't me, and it wasn't the workers. I mean, God used us, but it really was the power of the gospel that's made a profound change in her life. We bought her a Bible, and almost every week when I see her in chapel, I see her with her Bible open, and she's taking notes. And she's just soaking it all in. She's learning, and she's growing. You know, no matter what you do with your life, don't ever forget or underestimate the power of the gospel. Because the gospel is so powerful to change, to save and change a life. Now, don't miss this. Because it is so powerful. Because it is unbelievably powerful. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from serving God with your life. Because the devil knows the potential in this room. He knows. He knows what you're capable of with God's help. He knows the people that could be saved. He knows the lives that could be changed. He knows the churches that'll be started. He knows the mission fields that will have a missionary because of the students in this room who get on fire for God and understand the power of the gospel. Understand the potential that the gospel has in someone's life. By the way, that's why we're here. We're here because of the gospel, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to thrive in the Christian life. I don't want to just survive. And I understand there's times in our life when we're trying to just keep our head above water, but that's not where I want to live. I don't want to live just always trying to survive. I want to thrive. I want to thrive for God. I want to thrive for the work of the Lord. But understand this, there's an enemy. There's an enemy. Take your Bibles, look over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I have no doubt in my mind that Satan, the devil, walks about this campus. He walks about this chapel and he's just looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to take down. And you've got a mark, you've got a target on your back. And by the way, I believe this. I believe that your target and my target is more significant in the eyes of Satan and the devil than those that are nominal, marginal Christians. Those that are just average, barely go to church, never go soul winning, don't have a heart for the Lord. The devil, I mean, they're not making an impact. They're not making a difference. But the young people in this room, the potential that you have. Boy, you better know it. The devil's after you. The devil's after me. And the devil wants to do everything he can to bring us down. And I want to, just in the few minutes we have left, to just share some things I think will help, some things I believe the devil does to bring us down and try to get us to quit on the Lord. Father, I pray you'd bless these next few minutes. Use the message, I pray, as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just a few things this morning. Number one thing that I believe the devil does to hurt us, to affect us, is that he brings doubt into our life. Doubt. He'll wrestle with you regarding your salvation. And if, by the way, if you doubt your salvation, get it settled. If you have any doubt about it, just decide, you know what? Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody says. I'm going to settle it because I'm not going to go to hell because I'm embarrassed about what people think about me. It's not worth it. I mean, simply not worth it. But the devil will bring doubt into our minds. He'll bring doubt into our hearts and cause us to doubt. Doubt our salvation. Doubt our call to ministry. Am I really? You know, was I really called? At that youth conference, at that camp? Oh, I know I felt something. And sure, I went to an altar and I prayed and I told the youth group and I told everybody God's called me. And I want to be a preacher and I want to serve God with my life. But now that you're here, now that it's getting it's a little harder than you thought it would be. And maybe you're facing a little bit of a trial, and maybe you're struggling with paying your school bill, and maybe you're struggling with work, and things are kind of coming at you. And what happens is we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt. Did God really call me? Is it really part of God's will, God's plan for me to be at Hiles Anderson College? And that is a tool of the devil to try to bring you down. Is he brings doubt. Doubt that, can God really use me? Can God really, really use me? I feel so inadequate. I feel so incapable. I see others and boy, it's so dangerous when you start comparing yourself with other people and compare your ministry and who you are with someone else. But then you do that and then the devil brings thoughts of doubt. How can God use you? You're not as good as someone else. How could God use you? You're not this or that. And he'll bring thoughts of doubt into our mind to get us to question the will of God for our life. And how do we overcome that? How do I overcome doubt? Well, one way I think we overcome doubt is we need to remember. Remember that day when you trusted Christ. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 77 real quick. Psalm 77. Let's read this out loud. Psalm 77, verse number 11. You guys are still awake, right? I can't see you, so I'm not sure. It's a little hard to tell. Psalm 77, verse 11. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. You know, that was a wonderful day in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And let me ask you a question. Do you remember it? Do you remember it? Do you remember it? Somebody stand and just tell me, just real quick, when did you get saved and where were you? Somebody real quick, just jump to your feet and tell me. Elias, 2014, and where were you? In your bedroom, you got saved. Amen. Who else? Somebody jump up to your feet in the back. Daniel. Speak up, Daniel. I can't hear you. July 27, and where were you? In a Sunday school class. Omar? Uh-huh. Where were you? In a Sunday school class. At a camp. We'll stop there. But you need to remember that day that you got saved. And you know what puts doubt aside is when we remember, when we remind ourselves of that day when we trusted Christ, our Savior. And by the way, don't just remember it, but thank God for it. Thank God for it. Every day, thank God for your salvation. Thank God you're not going to hell when you die. Thank God you're going to live forever. Because no matter how bad things get, no matter how hard life is, thank God we're going to heaven when we die. We ought to remember. We ought to remember. We ought to remember that day when we got called to ministry. Well, that was a big day in my life. That was a long time ago. It was many, many decades ago. But I remember very clearly where I was sitting. And I remember what God did in my heart. And I remember wrestling and struggling with it for several moments. And then finally standing to my feet and coming to an altar. And standing with hundreds of other teenagers saying, God, if you want me to give my life to serve you, that's exactly what I want to do today. And not only do I remember it, but I thank God for it. Because there's nothing I'd rather do than to be in the will of God for my life. How do I overcome doubt? I remember. I remember. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the day that God called you to the ministry? You know, I think of Moses. Moses was a man who had no doubt. Take your Bibles up. We'll look at this. He's Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says here, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know how many times I've said that? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I to preach in chapel? Who am I to be part of this ministry? Who am I to be a bus captain? Who am I to be a bus worker? Who am I? I mean, I can't do this. And then verse 12, and he said, certainly I, this is God speaking, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. And I have sent that thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. You know, when you feel inadequate and you feel incapable, remember this, that God is with you. God is with you. And you're not somebody because of who you are. You're somebody because of who Christ is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus who lives in you. It's Jesus who saved you. It's God who called you that ought to give you the confidence to overcome doubt in your life, because doubt will come. What else will come? Number two, discouragement. Discouragement. You know, all of us get discouraged from time to time. And I doubt there's anybody in this room who could honestly say, I've never been discouraged. We've all been discouraged. We've all been, all of us have gone through times when we were just kind of down. And you know what discourages is a lack of courage. We just didn't have the courage to face another day. We just didn't have the courage to stand up and maybe do the right thing or do what we needed to do. It was defeating us. We weren't defeating it. We all need courage. We need courage. The Bible says, be of good courage. Over and over again, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Don't be discouraged. Be of good courage. Think of Job. Job had many heartaches and trials of life. But yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. David, no doubt, was discouraged by his past sin. But yet he found forgiveness with God. Jeremiah was discouraged and was a lonely, very lonely man and faced a lot of rejection. Boy, don't we get that. You guys ask that girl for a date, she rejects you. No, I'm kidding, I wasn't talking about that. But you know, we get rejected on Saturdays. We go out visiting and it's like people just don't want to hear, they don't want to listen. And you know, sometimes it gets discouraging. You know, it's discouraging sometimes to have a heart for the Lord and we want to build something, we want to do something, we want to see God work and for people to get saved and for lives to be changed and people to ride the bus and it's like we're fighting a brick wall, and sometimes it can be discouraging. And what is the answer? The answer is this: we overcome discouragement by trusting in the Lord. We need to trust God. Listen, God is in control. God is in control. And we need to trust the Lord. He knows what he's doing in our life. Trust him. Trust him. You know, it's even in times of trial and that we learn great lessons. You know, when I look back on my college days of living in the dorms and sitting where you sat, I don't want to relive those days again. And I'm glad those are behind me. But I am grateful for the hard lessons that I learned. I look back and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I didn't quit. And by the way, I wanted to. Boy, I wanted to. Man, I remember a time in my life I was so down and discouraged. As a matter of fact, I even went to and bought tickets back when we used to have paper tickets. You know, we don't have those anymore. But I remember having paper tickets to go home. I put them on my bookshelf in my room over here in Rice 3. Man, I was so discouraged. I was so down. I was just ready to just throw it in, just give up. Man, and what I lacked was courage. But you know, God used that in my life. And I didn't leave. I don't know if I got my money back or not, but I don't know if I just tore the tickets up or I don't remember what happened there, but I didn't get on that plane and I didn't go home. And I decided to have some courage and I decided to stay even though I was discouraged and wanted to quit. And I decided this. I decided I'm just gonna trust the Lord. I didn't know probably how my bill was gonna get paid. I didn't know exactly all that was going to work out, but I decided I was going to trust the Lord, and trusting the Lord helped me overcome discouragement. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. You know, I love that song, "My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness," because he does. All I have to do is follow. All I have to do is follow. You know, sometimes college is wilderness time. But God has to bring you through that so that you can learn some lessons that you will take with you for the rest of your life. You know, there have been times since graduating from college that I have been discouraged. Not to that extent where I was going to quit. Never thought about quitting on my family or my wife or quitting on God. But there were times of discouragement. But you know what helped me get through those discouraging times? Is knowing and remembering that God brought me through that other time. And those were great lessons that I learned. Third thing I'll give you and we'll be done. I said number one is doubt. Number two is discouragement. Number three is distractions. Distractions. There's a lot of distractions that will try to get us off track, to get us out of the will of God for our life. Unfortunately, the longer we're here, the more stories there are to tell. Young men who come to Bible college, called to preach. They give testimonies. I want to start a church. I'm going to be a missionary. And I understand God's plan changes, and I get that. But they get a good job. They start making money. They start buying things. Get a nice car. And what happens so often is we see them out of the will of God. And by the way, it wouldn't bother me so much if so many of them were still serving the Lord, but so many of them are not. They're not in church. They're not soul winning. They're not working bus routes. You know, if they stayed in church and, okay, and we have many men that are that way. They have stayed in the ministry. They work a secular job, but they have stayed focus serving the Lord, and that's okay. What bothers me is those who because of a good job, now they no longer serve God. And they got distracted by the dollar bill. They got distracted by money. And that can be a distraction. Family drama back home can be a distraction. Can be a distraction. A boyfriend, a girlfriend can be a distraction. Sin, certainly. Boy, sin can be a distraction. It'll ruin us. It'll hurt us. Worldliness and going the way of the devil and with our music. And boy, I'm so disappointed when I hear of our students that listen to the wrong kind of music. That I don't understand that. I'll be honest. I don't know. Maybe you're not on a bus route. I don't know. Maybe you find it's okay to tell your teenagers to listen to the right kind of music, but you don't. Maybe somehow in your mind you justify standing in front of your young people saying, you ought to live right, you ought to do right, but then you live a totally different lifestyle than what you expect of your young people. And I'm going to tell you something, they see right through that. They see right through that. And you're never going to make a difference and have an impact for God until you are who you say you are and what you preach. But sin and worldliness certainly is a distraction. Demas, it was said that he had forsaken me because having loved this present world. Well, how do we overcome distraction? Because it's easy. It's so easy. We get so wrapped up. You know, I think of social media and Twitter and Facebook and all the stuff. Everybody's got an opinion about everything. And everybody puts it out there. And it's so easy to get distracted by that thing. And how do we avoid distraction? We avoid distraction by being focused. And what do we focus on? We focus on two things: who we do this for and why we do it. Focus on why do we serve the Lord? Because we're trying to see people saved. We want to make a difference. We want to have an impact. And we do it for Christ. We do it for God. You don't do it for anybody else, but for the Lord. And you know, when my focus is soul winning and reaching people and bringing people to church and teaching and preaching and helping and counseling and serving and giving, boy, it's awfully hard to get distracted by all that other stuff that's trying to get me off track. And some of you this morning, you are so distracted by everything else that's going on in your life and your world, and you're not having an impact for God. And you need to refocus your attention on what's really important. When you stand before the Lord one day, what do you want to say you accomplished? And what we need to think about is why we're doing what we're doing and who we're doing it for. We need to do it for Jesus' sake. Jesus, God said, now he's not willing that any should perish. And when we focus our attention on what's really important, it just kind of brings, and by the way, I get distracted. But you know how I refocus my attention? Is I go out and win somebody to Christ. Last week, it was a tough week. We've all had them. It was just a hard week, and it was just different things that I was dealing with, not personal, not family. It was more ministry related, and it was tough. And I'll be honest, I was a bit discouraged, and I was just, you know, it was bothering me, and I was distracted. Honestly, I was distracted, and I began to think about some people on our bus route. And there was a family that our ladies had talked to on the street a few months ago, and her and the mom and the kids started coming to church. And I'd gone by their house about 3 weeks ago, and I met the man who lived there, and they'd been together for many years. But we talked a little bit. He didn't come. He had come to church before that, but he didn't come the next day. But he came the next week. He came to church, and then throughout that week, I just got burdened about him because I wasn't sure if he was saved. I didn't know if anybody had taken time to win him to the Lord. And so Friday afternoon, I went to Chicago, and I went to his house, and I prayed that he'd be home, and he was there. And I was able to go in his home, and it was such a sweet, sweet time to see him bow his head and trust Christ as his Savior. Talk to him about getting baptized. Supposed to get baptized this Sunday. Got him into discipleship. Took him and the mother of the kids. I took them up to discipleship on Sunday, and they got Bibles, and they're excited about that. And And they talk about getting married. They need to get married. They live together. They have this family, but they're not married. And they said, you know, we need to do this. And it was just sweet to see their heart desire. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. That kind of took away all the discouragement. and it took away all the distraction. And when I got focused on what was really important, that's when it really had an impact on me. You know, there's nothing sinful, I don't believe, about these things. You know, I think they're natural. I think we have times of doubt. But don't let doubt keep you from doing the will of God for your life. We all get discouraged. We all get through times of discouragement. But listen, don't let discouragement keep you from doing the will of God for your life. We all get distracted at times, but don't let distractions keep you from doing the will of God for your life. There's so much potential in this room, and it overwhelms me. Every time I come here, I'm overwhelmed by the potential in this room. Because God can use you more than you can even imagine if you would do right, if you would just stick with it, if you would finish and stay in the will of God, you'll be surprised at how God will use your life. Let God use you. He wants to. Let him use you. Father, I pray that you would use